I'll be speaking to you this morning on the subject, Five Reasons Why I Reject the Theory of Evolution, or Five Reasons Why I Do Not Believe in Evolution. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, I invite you to turn, please, to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And it is written in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the scripture says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now let me ask you this question. How do you account for the existence of man? How do you account for man's existence on this earth? Where did he come from? How did he get here? Now there are just two explanations. The first one is the one I just read to you from God's Word. How that God created man, male and female, miraculously, marvelously, and wonderfully in his own image. God made the body of man from the earth or from the dust, that's what the scripture says, and breathed into this man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, Adam was never an infant. He was never a little baby. God made him a full-grown man with all of his faculties. And Adam was never a savage. He was never a savage. He was an intelligent, brilliant, beautiful genius. He was a fit companion and fellow of Almighty God, created in the image of God, brilliant, a genius. God brought to Adam all of the animals on the face of the earth, and he named them. And they're called by those names to this day. Adam was not a sinner. He was morally, mentally, emotionally, and physically perfect. God created man, the scripture says, upright. But man sought out many inventions. His mind and his body expressed the very image of God. Now that's what the scripture says about creation. God created male and female, man in his own image. But from that perfect state, Adam sinned and fell. Now, I don't know how long Adam continued in this upright and perfect state. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know how long he stood. I just know that he fell. I know the scripture says he rejected the lordship of Almighty God and the reign of God over him. I know what his sin was like. It was very similar to the sin of the angels. You remember over in Isaiah chapter 14, it describes the fall of Lucifer and one-third of the heavenly host. And the scripture says that this was their sin. They said, I will be like God. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's the essence of sin. Two words, I will. The essence of sin is I will. That's what Satan said to Eve. He said, if you eat of this tree, you will be like God. And when she saw that it was a tree desired to make one wise or to make one like God, the I will came into play. I'll take it. Now, the essence of sin is I will, my will. The essence of holiness is God's will. That's what our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. But when man fell, he says, not thy will, but my will. I will be like God. I will take the forbidden fruit. And man fell from this holy state. He fell from this perfect state. He fell from this state of righteousness. And we see the results. We see the results of this fall in our bodies. It says in Romans 5:12, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. I see the results of Adam's sin in my body. We don't live but an average of 72 years now. Somebody says, well, man's living longer every year. Well, it'll be a long time before he catches Methuselah, a long time before he catches Adam, who lived over 800 years. But we see the results of man's fall in our bodies. Our bodies are frail, sickly, they get old quickly, and they die. That's the result of man's sin. Man wasn't made to die. He wasn't made to grow old. He wasn't made to decay. He was made in the image of God. Sin brought death. Sin brought depravity. Sin brought decay. Sin brought disease. All of these things are the results of sin. And not only do we see the results of sin in our bodies, but we see the results of Adam's fall in our natures. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. We think, but we don't think on God. We walk, but we don't walk with God. We love, but we don't love God. Our thoughts and affections and our minds are twisted and warped and perverted. We call the sweet bitter and the bitter sweet. We love darkness and hate light. That's our nature. Our natures are evil. And then we see the results of sin in the world of nature. The nature, the creation, God's creation was made subject to vanity by reason of man's fall. But that's what happened to man. God created man, the Scripture says, in His image, in His likeness, and man fell. But I thank God He will not leave man in this fallen state. He purposed to save a people. He took not on Himself the nature of angels, but He took on Himself the seed of Abraham. He came to this earth in the form and likeness of flesh. He took on Himself the seed of Abraham. He came to this earth as the second Adam. Now, the Scripture recognizes two Adams. The Scripture teaches representation. As in Adam we died, so in Christ we're made alive. As we've borne the image of the earthy, the first Adam, we'll bear the image of the heavenly, the second Adam. The first Adam was a man from earth. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And so our Lord Jesus came to restore what we lost in Adam, to restore paradise, to restore righteousness, to restore life, to restore glory, to restore creation. How do you account for man's existence? How do you account for his presence on this earth? Even his present existence, God made him. That's what the Scripture says. God created man. Now here's the second explanation. The other explanation for the existence of man on this earth is called evolution. It's called a theory. That's what it's called. It's called a theory because that's what it is. It is a theory. It's a guess. It's a supposition. Evolution rejects the Word of God. It rejects the Word of Christ. It rejects the prophets. It has no proof. It leaves God out. It explains the phenomena of man as the product of an impersonal, godless universe. Now, that's exactly what evolution is. Let me read you a paragraph from one of the books on evolution. Now, listen carefully to this, and listen with an open heart, and listen with a receptive heart. You say, well, you listen to my explanation of evolution, I'll listen to your preaching of the Word of God. That's fair. Now, I'll read you what the evolutionist said. He says, sometime, somewhere, a bolt of lightning passed through the gaseous vapors and created a speck of protoplasm so small that it could not be seen by the naked eye. And that small speck of protoplasm fell into the ocean, and it began to grow, and it became an amoeba. And out of the amoeba came a fish, and from the fish came an amphibian, and from the amphibian came a reptile, and from the reptile came an ape, and from the ape came a man. Now, that is one of the theories. That's one of the explanations as to how man got here on this earth. That accounts for man's existence. One day, somewhere, sometime, a bolt of lightning came out of the sky and split the gaseous vapors and created a speck of protoplasm. And that fell into the ocean or the sea. And it became an amoeba, a one-cell animal, and that became a fish, and that became an amphibian, that is, a creature that could go on land or water, and that became a reptile, and that became an ape, and that became a man. Now, you talk about having trouble believing the scriptural account of creation. I gasp in amazement that any intelligent person could believe what I just read. this theory of evolution. You wonder how we can believe what the Bible says about creation? My friend, I wonder even to a greater degree how you can believe that. Now, I want to give you several reasons why I strongly reject, what we call the theory of evolution, why I could never believe it. Now, you listen carefully. I'll be able to help you this morning. If you've got some young people, invite them right now to come into the room and listen to these five reasons that I'm going to give you why I totally reject the theory of evolution. Now, here's the first reason. The first reason why I do not believe in evolution is I believe the Word of God. You say, well, I believe the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. Evolution is a denial of the Word of God. I hear people calling creation the Genesis account of creation. Now, you hold it a minute. I hear people say this, I reject the Genesis account of creation. My dear friend, that God created man in his own image is not a Genesis account. It's an Exodus account, Leviticus account, and Numbers account, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, and go all the way, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Mark, Matthew, Luke, the book of Acts. It's all the way through. Let me show you that. It's all the way through the Bible. I read to you from the book of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let us make man. Listen, Exodus 20. In 6 days, the Lord God made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. That's the Exodus account of creation. All right, go to 2 Kings 19, verse 15. O Lord, thou hast made the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. Oh, that's the king's account of creation. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 6. God made heaven, earth, and all things that are therein. Job. You love the book of Job? We quote from it enough. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen to Job. God said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And he tells Job how he created the rain, the snow, the sleet, the hail, the animals and men, and all these things. Psalm. You love Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. What about Psalm 24? Verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, the world, and all they that dwell therein, for he founded it and he established it. Don't take Psalm 23 if you won't take Psalm 24. You're a dishonest person. I'm not talking about the Genesis account of creation. I'm talking about the Psalms account of creation. Let's listen to Isaiah. We all love Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgression. Do you love Psalm 44:24? I am the Lord. I made all things. Isaiah 45:12. I made the earth, and I created man upon the earth, saith the Lord. Isaiah 45:12. It's not the Genesis account of creation, my friend. It's the Isaiah account of creation. The Psalm account of creation. Here's Jeremiah. The Lord God said, I made the earth, man, and beast that are upon it. We'll have to throw out the book of Jeremiah if we reject creation. Jonah. You want to throw the book of Jonah out. Our Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. We're going to have to discredit the testimony of Jesus Christ himself if we deny the book of Jonah. And Jonah, chapter 1, verse 9, he says to the people on the boat, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God who made heaven, the seas, and the dry land. Who made it? God made it. What about the book of Mark? Chapter 10, verse 6. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. You don't have much Bible left, my liberal friend. The book of Mark. God made them from the beginning, male and female. What about the book of Acts? God said, hath not my hand made all things in heaven and earth? Acts 17:24. God made the world and all things therein. The book of Ephesians. God created all things. The book of Revelation. We love that, don't we? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old earth and old heaven passed away. Be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. You love that? Why don't you take all the book of Revelation? Revelation 4:11. Thou hast created all things, O Lord, For thy pleasure they are and were created. I reject the theory of evolution because it's a direct denial of the Word of God. Not just the book of Genesis, but every book in this Bible. Every book in this Bible. The Bible teaches that God created all things in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And God created a male and female in His own image, in His own likeness. And I say this boldly and candidly and plainly without any fear of correction. To deny the account of creation as given in the Word of God is to deny the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, because there's a reference to creation by the hand of God in practically every one of the 66 books. All right, secondly, I reject the theory of evolution because it's a denial of the gospel. It's a denial of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot believe evolution and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God's redeeming grace and evolution are entirely opposite. They're enemies. Now listen to me. The gospel says that man was made in the image of God. And because of his sin, man fell into death, darkness, and depravity. The condition in which we now live, by birth, by nature, by choice, and by practice, was the result of a fall. But evolution says the opposite is true. Man didn't fall. Man started at the bottom and he's climbing. The gospel says man started at the top and fell to the bottom. And now God, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, and by His grace and mercy and atonement, He's going to lift the sinner. But evolution denies that. The gospel says that man's a fallen creature who needs a divine work of grace, who needs a divine Savior to lift him from his fallen state, that he cannot lift himself, that he's unable to restore himself. Evolution says not so. Evolution says leave man alone. He will eventually evolve into an archangel. He's getting better. He's getting smarter. He's getting greater. He's getting more moral, more holy, and by himself, if you leave him alone, he'll continue to improve and continue to get better, being saved by his own works. That's a denial of the gospel of God's grace. The gospel says that sin is a moral transgression of the holy law of God for which man is responsible. The gospel goes back and charges Adam and charges all men in Adam with a moral transgression. Evolution says that sin and evil is nothing but the drag of our animal ancestors. That's where we got it. It's the pull and the drag of our animal ancestors. We are not really responsible, and if left alone, we'll overcome this drag of our animal ancestors. Man's not responsible for his condition if he came from an ape, if he came from a snake, if he came from an amoeba. But if man was made in the image of God, and was a morally accountable, responsible creature, and met face to face the holy law of God, which says, do this and live, eat of this tree and die, and he chose rather to die than to obey God, he's morally accountable and responsible for his condition. The gospel says that God sent his Son into the world to be our Redeemer, and that by his grace, through faith in him, we can become new creatures in Christ Jesus. New creatures. Not the old creature improved. Not the old heart retreaded. Not the old spirit remade. But new creatures in Christ Jesus. Evolution denies this. It denies the original sin. It denies the new birth. And it denies the atonement. Yes, my friend, I reject evolution wholeheartedly and completely because it mocks the Word of God. And because it discounts and discredits the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man, whoever he might claim to be, can preach the gospel of redeeming grace, whereby God Almighty in his mercy reaches down into the cesspool of iniquity, wherein morally responsible and accountable creatures have fallen, and washes them in the blood of his Son, and lifts them by his grace and power, and enthrones them and makes them kings and priests unto him for his glory. No man can preach that and preach evolution. It's an impossibility. It's like old Joshua said that day when he faced pagan Israel, you choose you this day whom you'll serve. Either the Lord God of creation and salvation in the gospel, or the gods your daddies worshiped back there across the flood when they bowed before the gods of Egypt. You cannot serve both. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord God. All right, here's the third reason why I reject evolution. I reject it because every man, in every way, man is different from a beast. Listen to the Bible again. 1 Corinthians 15:39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men. There's another flesh of beast. There's another flesh of fish and another flesh of birds. All flesh is not the same. It differs. Man differs in every way from an animal, from a fish or a bird. He differs in blood. Why don't they, if they want blood transfusions, go out here and get blood from apes and pigs and goats and cows. But you can't put that kind of blood in a man. They differ in blood. They differ in bone. Why don't we have transplants from animals if we came from animals? They differ in flesh. They differ in cells. When we have the decay of cells in our bodies, replace it with pig cells. They differ in soul and spirit and mind. A man is totally in every way different from any kind of beast. I'll show you in several ways. One, a man walks erect. There's not a beast on this earth that stands and walks erect. Only a man who was made in God's image. A man's countenance differs from a beast. The light of intelligence is in a man's eyes. The light of intelligence is in a man's face. It's the intelligence of God. And it may vary. There may be degrees of intelligence, but every creature reveals the intelligence of God in his eyes. You don't get the blank stare when you look into the eyes of an animal. A man can reason. He can invent. An animal can be taught to obey, but not to reason. He can be taught to respond, but not to invent. He can be taught theory. But did you ever try to teach geology to a dog? Did you ever try to teach astronomy to a pig? Did you ever try to teach history to a horse? Did you ever try to teach English to a cat? But yet the most primitive man can learn any of these subjects. But you can't teach an animal. You can teach him to respond. You can teach him to obey. You can teach him to fear, but not to reason. And not even to invent. Man has invented the steamship. And man has invented the automobile, the airplane. Now he's inventing rockets and missiles and all these things, televisions and radios. The animal kingdom only concern is survival. Survival. A man has a hand. A man has a hand. Only a man has a hand. A fish has a fin. A lion has a paw. A horse has a hoof. And a bird has a claw. Only a man has a hand. And God has given them that marvelous gift that enables him to handle a tool. No animal can handle a tool. Oh, you can teach one to pound with a hammer, but you can't teach him to build a house. He can operate delicate machines. He can play small musical instruments. He can perform surgery with those hands. Only a man has a hand. Marvelous gift of God. And then I reject evolution because the evolutionist cannot account for the presence of life. Life, L-I-F-E, life. Now, brother, there's life everywhere. This world teems with life. Life is in the dust. Life is in every drop of moisture. Life is in the air, in the ocean, in the ice, in the desert. Life is everywhere. The evolutionist cannot account for life. The evolutionist says, well, life came here on a meteor. Well, how did it get on the meteor? Did you hear what I read a while ago? Somewhere, sometime, a bolt of lightning pierced the gaseous vapors and fell into the ocean and grew. Somewhere. Where'd the where come from? Sometime. Where'd the time come from? A bolt of lightning. Where'd the lightning come from? Passed through vapor. Where'd the vapor come from? Fell into the sea. Where'd the sea come from? Every time the evolutionist opens his mouth, he runs into a blank wall because he goes back and back and back and he has to stop here. Where did that come from? Where did life come from? The scripture says life came from God. In him was life. The life of man was in God. All life is in God. God is life. And everything that lives and moves and has its being lives and moves and has its being in God Almighty. Came from God. And then I reject evolution in the fifth place because evolution has no explanation for the mind of man and the soul of men. Evolution has no explanation for the non-material qualities in a man. Now, evolution explains he came from this, that, and the other, but evolution has no explanation for those principles and qualities and emotions that dwell in a man. Where did man get his love for music? Where did man get his love for art? Where did man get his love for beauty? Huh? Where did man get his conscience? You've been out into the jungle lately? Be careful. It's like I heard a story one time about the snake and the rabbit that made an agreement. The snake said to the rabbit, if you'll do this for me, I won't hurt you. And the rabbit did it, and then the snake started to eat him, and the rabbit said, you promised you wouldn't do that. And the snake said, you knew I was a snake when we made that agreement. And you ever try to reason with an animal? Where did man get his conscience? Where did man get grief, tears, sorrow, laughter? Huh? Where did man get these things? I'll tell you, the gift of affections and heart and mind are not physical properties. They're spiritual properties. They're soul properties that came from God. But chiefly, my friend, I reject evolution because it rejects God. It rejects the Word of God. It rejects Christ.